You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Bill Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios, man. We got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international, and yeah, like the dude just said, covering it all, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome to Friday. Welcome to it. It's Friday, Fry-yay all day long. Boomer, hit that sound effect. This is
Fry-yay!
Fry-yay! Nice. How you doing, buddy?
I'm good.
Yeah.
Fry-yay.
You got your Fry-yay on?
I do.
All right. Well, good enough.
I'm ready. Yeah.
All right. We got a great show laid on for you. 3 o'clock today, Stephanie Smith, our frequent flyer, comes in on Fridays usually to talk about things that are happening in matters of policy. And right now, since the legislature is in session, she'll be doing a statehouse roundup with us. That's 3 o'clock today. Stephanie Smith, president of the Alabama Policy Institute. We'll have her there at 3. And then at 3:30, right after that, one of our new state representatives, State Representative Susan DuBose, will be calling in. Susan DuBose is the state rep carrying a bill that would prevent transgenders from competing in sports opposite of their biological sex in the college level. Right now, K-12 is already banned in Alabama. I'm not sure why they stopped at K-12, but now she's trying to add on the last component there and make sure that the college athletes are protected as well. So 3:30 p.m., State Representative Susan DuBose. And then we still got a whole triple dipper. Hit it, man.
The triple dipper. Three stories you've got to know.
That's right, the triple dipper. Three themes, three storylines, if you will, that we are going to go with as we run today's show. So, yeah, number one, the State House Roundup. We'll be covering some things that have happened just this week. It's amazing how much comes out of Montgomery that can truly impact your day-to-day life. And it's just true. I mean, so much happens. And right now I've got a round of things that have come out just this week in the State House that you're going to want to know about. So number one, triple dipper, State House Roundup. Number two, fixing the leak. You know where I'm going here, right? We got a leak, got to fix it. Well, we got to fix it. It's a problem. But what do we know about this? What do we know about this kid who allegedly is our leaker? What do we know about this leaks, these series of leaks that have occurred? What do they contain? What are they? And, you know, and what do you think about it? I want to hear your thoughts on it. I've got everybody telling me everything from, I think it's part of a conspiracy theory and it's not real and all this. This guy's a hero, and other folks are saying he's a total villain. What do we know about him? Well, I'll tell you right now, I got opinions too. I'll share them with you. Number two on the triple dipper, fixing the leak. And then number three, I didn't get to it yesterday, so we're going to try it again. I've got it laid out there. Speak freely is what I call it. If we can get all three dippers done, speak freely is the one that covers down on issues related to things like freedom of speech on campuses. Why does it appear to be different just beyond a campus? But yeah, we'll talk about it. Speak freely. That's number three on the triple dipper. All right, let me jump over here to my comments, and I'll start off by saying, man, I'm going to tell you right now, and Charlene would agree with this, I like to say that I've built a whole life off of shaving the corners off of square pegs and making them fit in round holes. I mean, basically, I believe that there's a reason, then there's also a way. The world will tell you at times that it is what it is, and I personally despise that phrase and believe that it's really, it is what you make it. In today's world, it's imperative that conservatives are willing to resist the notions, the whims, the fancies of modern progressives who bend and blow in the fickle winds of culture. If we're going to say that we are principled conservatives, then we have to be willing to back that up with principled action. We have to be willing at times to swim against the tide or shave the corners off the square pegs and shove them down those little round holes. We have to be willing to resist. Sometimes it takes getting creative. Now, just for an example, I got to tell you something. I heard a story, blew my mind. You talk about a guy who shaved the corners off of square pegs and fed them in round holes. Have you seen the story about the guy in California who ate at a Six Flags park twice a day, every day for 7 years? I kid you not. Six Flags, meal, twice a day, every day, 7 years. So why would he do this? You're probably wondering what that has to do with anything related to pushing back against woke culture, but it has everything to do with it. You see, this guy took things into his own hands. He was swimming in debt, especially student loans, but he found out he could save tons of money by eating at Six Flags. So he did every day for 7 years. That's genius. That's next level. Wait, some of you are wondering why I would think it's a good idea. Because it was a way of finding the creative workaround. It was resistance to what was weighing him down in life. Here's the deal. He graduated from college with massive student loans, right? But he was resourceful. He discovered that if he paid $150 a year to Six Flags, it got him a year-round pass that came with two meals a day. So he takes all the money he saves and applies it to his debt. And as a result, when I last read the article, he had paid down nearly all of his student loans. He bought a house and he was getting married soon. He said he has friends that spend like over $1,500 a month on groceries and eating out. He didn't go to the grocery store once in the entire first year he did it. That's genius. But it's also a story of someone who was not going to settle for the status quo. He could have gone deeper into debt. He could have struggled to pay his bills. He could have let interest pile up. He could have begged Biden to bail him out. But no, he got creative. He resisted the notion of just sitting idle and letting life happen to him with a laissez-faire attitude of shoulder-shrugging apathy. Well, that's where we have to be right now in life in general. We have to be creative. We have to be resistant, not settling for just good enough. Like, here's an example. Yesterday, Governor Ron DeSantis, he signed an abortion ban. But he has yet to declare his intent for running for president, but establishment Republicans and moderate pundits were all declaring he should not sign it. Don't sign it, Governor. Might hurt his chances for the presidency, they said. It might hurt the whole GOP ticket, they said. It might inflame the liberals. It's the right thing to do, is what he said, so he resisted, and he signed it. Okay, that's Ron DeSantis, though. He's a governor with a big war chest. What can an average Joe or Jane really do? I mean, what can we do? Plenty. Last night, I watched as a mother was interviewed on Tucker Carlson. She confessed that she's a Democrat living in Maine. But she was shocked when she found out that the staff at her daughter's public school helped her daughter to, quote, transition to be a male, even to the extent of giving her chest binders and encouraging her, all without the mother knowing. Well, the mom found out. And she didn't sit idly by and say, woe is me. She pulled her daughter out of the school, and then she went and she gave a stirring speech to the school board, and now she's suing the administration. She could have thrown her hands in the air, but she chose, instead, to resist. I mean, the left will scream and throw fits. They'll call you names. They'll demand you bow down. At the very least, they want you to step aside and to stay out of the way. Don't do it. Resist. The question becomes, how bad do you want it? Do you want to live in a country where the rule of law can be voided by whoever's in charge that day? Do you want to live in a country that believes that the elective sterilization of children is a good idea? Do you really want to live in a country that depends upon other countries for its energy sources? Do you want to live in a country where parents have no say in their children's education? Do you want to live in a country that has no control over its borders, or that appoints judges based on skin color, or that builds a military based on whether they're inclusive enough? Well, those are all happening right now. And the only way we can put a stop to it is to resist. So what does resistance look like? I mean, it comes in many forms, to be honest. It operates at many levels. Don't think for a second you have to have limitless resources or lofty positions. Nope, not at all. Resistance is a grassroots thing. Resistance is at the foot soldier level. You probably heard me tell this before, but a little over a year ago, a group of families down in Mountain Brook, they all caught wind that woke ideology had made its way to their school system. It involved some teacher training, mandatory training, that, if I recall, injected liberal ideologies into their schools, and these parents, they decided to resist. So they formed a grassroots effort. They made flyers. They made phone calls. They gathered up some others. They went to the school board en masse. And they faced up down, they faced the school board with an outpouring of community resistance. And the superintendent, he read the tea leaves, and he pulled that training from any further use. You see, they resisted. These parents did. They just resisted. I know folks who were in that group. I was actually proud to present them with an award not long after that for making a determined stand right there where they live. And I'll be honest with you, when I ran for office myself, I did not run by myself. I had people who told me they had never done or said anything political ever, but they came out and they knocked on some doors and they made some phone calls, and I could not have done it without them. They were willing to resist. Well, too often folks feel detached or disenfranchised or inadequate, but it ain't true. The question is, how much do you care? Are you willing to get uncomfortable just for a few minutes? Will you do something extra? Maybe you speak to your own school board, or you organize a group of prayer warriors to focus on an issue together every week, or you donate the cost of maybe one Friday night pizza to a local conservative candidate, and by doing so, you buy them another street sign. Who knows? If we're going to take back our state and our nation, we will only do so because the good folks of conservative, grassroots, red-blooded America decide they've had enough and they decide to resist. Liberals won't like it. Good. I say make them work for it. Resist. That's where we are. People are waking up to the fact that they have rights, that they have options. They don't have to sit idly by. This is a possible win, but you're going to have to resist. You're going to have to get creative, like eating at Six Flags every day. It may not always be convenient, but it might get the bills paid. So resist, you bunch of right side ruffians, and that's a wrap for the right side way. All right, folks, there you have it. Yeah, I'm not kidding. We need more people to say, I've never done this before, but I will now. We need more people to say, I am prepared to resist. I'm prepared to do what it takes to fight that issue or to move things forward politically or to do something meaningful to preserve liberty. It doesn't matter. Grassroots, just right there at the base level. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. Saving the world one soundbite at a time. I tell you what, man, we got so much to cover today. I mean, it's amazing what's happening around there. But I'm not kidding when I say that it's going to take all of us resisting to basically save our nation, in my opinion. And I don't mean that like, you know, euphemistically. I'm not giving you sort of a figurative. I'm saying there are aspects of what's happening in our culture right now that I think could wind up being catastrophic to our culture as a whole if we don't start seeing more resistance on the part of conservatives. It is not enough to just listen and grumble. It is not enough to just stand idly by and go, wow, I wish that hadn't happened. We have got to have more people engaging the processes. I'm not talking about rioting. I'm not talking about doing something wrong. I'm talking about just making your voices heard. I'm talking about getting a grassroots campaign together. I'm talking about doing things that might take you away from, you know, some of your personal downtime or something else for a little while. But you go do it, man. I'm just saying. In the middle of all that discussion, too, Boomer, you caught the part about the dude who ate at Six Flags two times a day for
brilliant.
7 years.
Like, why didn't I think about this when I was like in college or doing something like that? I mean, like, wow, come on.
I mean, I wonder what his options were. Did he have funnel cakes every day? I mean, what do you do?
Well, I look at it as I remember getting vouchers when I went to Disney World and things, and you could walk up and get like, you know, your normal, just a whole meal, like a burger and fries and a drink.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe that's kind of what it was.
I bet the staff at Six Flags knew him personally.
Oh, absolutely.
Hey, Bob, you back again? Yeah, man.
You want your normal?
Yeah. Where are you eating at today? The Taco Bell stand or what are you doing?
They totally knew him. They totally knew him. Yeah.
How many chicken fingers can you eat?
And you know, after you get to know him for a little while, you're like, hey, you want a little bit more? All right, here you go.
Ooh.
You know?
Like a carry-out bag with that, sir? Sure.
Absolutely.
I got friends lined up outside the gate. I'll be right back. This is funny. I'm looking at the text. By the way, text lines are open, 833-687-4448. That's 833-687-4448. I just saw, in fact, I got Dustin from Hazel Green. You're sending me a whole bunch of attachments, man. I'll get to them here in a minute. I'll let them stop coming in first. John from Huntsville just texted in. Phil, enjoyed that monologue. Thank you, brother. Appreciate that. Leanne from Huntsville sent me something. Oh, she's telling me it's going to be a three-dipper day, Boomer.
Ooh, Leanne from Huntsville. Three-dipper day. She's calling it.
She's calling it.
She's calling it.
It's a three-dipper day, she says. All right, we'll see, Leanne. You're the prognosticator winner if we get it. Dwight from Decatur, he's texting in. What are we doing here? He says, the Russians knew Russian losses. The Russians knew Ukrainian losses. The U.S. military and government knew. Only the American citizens did not know the truth. All right, point. Maybe. Raven from Russellville. Please tell everyone to look into House Bills 12, 28, and 234, gun rights infringements. Raven, are you talking state level or are you talking about something federal? If you're talking state level, we will be on it. And by the way, it won't pass. But tell me if you're talking about state or federal and where you see this. And I'll give it a look when I can. JT from Lacey Springs, 7 years at Six Flags. That's an intestinal sacrifice. Indeed. And then we got one, Paula from Lacey Springs. Eating at a recreation park does not sound very nutritious or healthy to me. I'm sure that's true. Although, you know, I'll tell you, Paula, I wonder, because in today's day and age, you know the deal. Everywhere you go, you can buy something gluten-free. You can buy something with a salad or some apple slices instead of French fries. And who knows? I mean, he may have had it kind of scouted out. But within 7 years, he knew what was there. And I would bet that he figured out ways to not mutilate his innards every day. All right. Hey, listen, we're going to be taking a break here in a moment, but I got to tell you before we go there, in case you have not heard, because we've talked about it on the show several times, just yesterday, I believe it was yesterday. Yeah. Storyline I've got here dated April 13th. That'd be yesterday. So Huntsville police officer William Darby, Ben Darby, you may recall that he was the one who was convicted of manslaughter, I believe, was incarcerated at Limestone Correctional Facility. He's convicted of murder. And the Court of Criminal Appeals reversed the verdict. It's been a big deal here in North Alabama. You got a police officer who responded to a call, who reacted according to his training, is the argument being made, but had to take out the suspect. And there is many who believe the suspect was trying to do a suicide by a cop, but whatever the case may be, Officer Darby believed that he was acting, you know, in accordance with his training and protocols, and the city of Huntsville backed him on it. The city Huntsville PD backed him on it, but the prosecutor said no, and the prosecutor had him indicted, and they convicted him. They convicted him. However, the Court of Criminal Appeals has now reversed that conviction and remanded it with new instructions that the judge should have done a few things differently. And now Officer Darby just this week, yesterday actually, has been released from prison, and he is back with his wife, Keelan Darby, who's been on the show a couple of times. So anyway, there's more to come because the trial will have to go again. But the bottom line is this, in case you hadn't already heard, Officer Ben Darby is now not behind bars and is able to breathe fresh air. So blessings on he and the family. All right, Raven for Russell just texted back in. Says it's state level, and it's strange for a constitutional carry state. Yeah, Raven, I've seen it. I think I know the bills you're talking about, and those are not going to pass. And if I'm mistaken, if it's the ones I'm thinking of, they're being carried by Democrats, so they're pretty much dead on arrival. Steve from Tennessee, Six Flags meals, beating them with their own stick. All right, you guys, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. And we are back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. That'd be Alabama, sweet home Alabama. I'm talking about this show goes way on down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back over to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, Mississippi, thrown in just for good measure. All right, hey, I'm going to jump on in to the first part of the Triple Dipper, State House Roundup. So I'm not kidding when I say that what comes out of Montgomery, your own state capital, Montgomery, down yonder, Montgomery on that goat hill there. But yeah, right there. Boomer giving me the, that was Foghorn.
I like that. That was
that was my Foghorn Leghorn boy. Yeah,
that's what, that's what it sounded like.
I say, come here, Belvedere, come here, boy. But anyway, but yeah, the stuff that comes out of Montgomery can have an amazingly direct impact on your day-to-day. So if you're not in tune with your state legislature or what's happening with them, I just want to encourage you to. So I'll be honest, when I ran for the state Senate, I thought I knew what I was getting into. I had no idea. I openly confess that I thought I was a well-read constituent. I listened to radio talk shows. I read the paper. You know, I shook hands with my legislator once in a while when I saw him at the Kiwanis Club or whatever. But I had no idea. And I got down to Montgomery, and I was like, dadgum. I mean, I didn't even know where the bathrooms were in the State House yet, and I'm voting on ethics laws that changed the total dynamic of the State House. You know, we were doing things like, think about it. What determines whether you can text or drive, Montgomery or D.C.? Montgomery. What determines, you know, major response to a tornado, Montgomery? How do you know how much you're going to pay at the pump for taxes? Well, that mostly comes out of Montgomery. What about things like, economic incentives to bring new jobs? A lot of that's Montgomery. How about your education? How about your mental health in your state? How about whatever? It's all, a lot of that comes straight out of Montgomery. So when you hear that there are people running for office, let me tell you, they are accessible. That's the first thing I'll tell you. They are accessible. I cannot stress that enough. Your state legislators, state representatives, and state senators, know who they are. I can't encourage you enough for this. And then know how to reach them. And some of them are really good about responding. I used to sit there on the Senate floor next to my buddy Bill Holtzclaw, who was a state senator from right up there in Madison. And Holtzclaw and I would sit there and we would be responding to emails daily, you know, from our constituents right there on the Senate floor while we were listening to debates. And then there are some who don't do it at all. They try to you know, hide, so to speak. But most of them, they know how to respond, and you should know how to find them. What you got, Boomer? You're typing me a note there. We got?
Well, on our website, we got remember, we have the Find Your State Elected Officials at the very bottom of our website, any page.
I'd forgotten about that.
Yep, it's there.
You are the man. You're right. Okay, hey, I tell you
and
what.
That gives them a starting point, and then you can just Google that name, and usually it'll pull up all the phone numbers and emails and things like that.
Yeah, and it's perfect. So, all right, what he's talking about is our website is Right Side Radio. Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
RightSideRadio.org, RightSideRadio.org. Tons of stuff on this website. But on the bottom of any one of the pages, there is the click here to find your Alabama State elected officials, and it'll help you to track down who represents you based on where you live. All right. And if you don't know how to reach them, if you're like, I mean, do they have an office? Some do, some don't. And I say that because these are all part-time legislators. They go down there and they make decisions on taxes and voting on the education budget and all that, but it's their part-time job, allegedly. We called it my full-time part-time job. But all that to say, they are very accessible and they're making decisions every day. And you might want to know how to work with them, deal with them, engage them in things you're concerned about. And when you do that, by the way, just do it respectfully. That's what I ask. Don't be one of those, you know, knuckleheads who sends you the, we're going to make sure you never get reelected because you didn't vote to make the official color of the state brown. You know, I saw the stupidest stuff sometimes, and there's always these threats attached to it. And I'm like, okay, great. Thank you for your input. Next. And just, you know, you wind up creating more of a wall. You just call them and say, hey, State Senator so-and-so, or hey, Representative so-and-so, my name's this, and I live here, and I think you're my representative, and I got a real concern about what's happening in my school, or have you heard about the road project, or do you know anything about what's going on with that bill? Man, the thing that got me the most when I was in Montgomery, 8 years in the State Senate, and I'm going to tell you right now, lobbyists would come down the hall every day. Senator, could I have a moment of your time? That happened all the time. That was not what moved me. It helped sometimes. I mean, if I had a principled issue, if I had a thing like pro-life, fiscal conservatism, you know, strong defense, like, you know, dealing with our state National Guard or whatever, helping law enforcement, those were things that you couldn't move me on. But there's always going to be things you're gray on. You're a state legislator. When I was down there, I would sit on the back row of the right side of the chamber, and around me, there was a guy to my right who was a retired teacher. There was a guy to my left who was a retired Marine. There was a guy to my front who was a farmer. A guy to his left was a dentist. A guy just to the left of the retired Marine owned a restaurant. And, you know, these are all normal people with normal jobs. So what I'm saying is we don't know everything about everything. And so there were times when an issue was gray to me. I would look at it and go, I think I get this, but I don't know that I understand fully how it impacts everybody. And next thing I know, I'd get a phone call from a constituent who respectfully said, hey, Senator, here's the deal. Here's how it impacts my life. And it would change the dynamic. It wasn't a lobbyist that did it. It wasn't the governor asking for something. It wasn't because my caucus was trying to push for a thing. It was because a constituent back home took the time to get read up and called me. And that usually made a difference. All right, all that to say, there's stuff happening right now down yonder in Montgomery on that day of Goat Hill. One day we'll talk about why they call it Goat Hill. But anyway, it's not that sexy a story, to be honest. But anyway, the nickname for our state house, the hill where the Capitol building is Goat Hill. Things that are happening this week. You might want to know this. This is cool. 1819 News has a piece that says that it appears, that efforts like this show and API, the Policy Institute, and some others to push for the grocery tax to be repealed is finally starting to make a dent. Yeah. So 1819 News reports that State Senate Pro Tem Greg Reed out of Jasper, he's the Senate Pro Tem, he says the grocery tax has gone from being something that we may not ever be able to do to that's now on top of the list. This is a big deal, y'all. I cannot tell you how much it means to hear that being said. Reed said the grocery tax has gone from, oh my goodness, we may not ever do that, to wow, that's on top of the list. In his words, he said, we got a lot of extra resources this year. We're looking at what we call four pillars. The four pillars are rebates, savings accounts for the state, investing some of the resources, and tax cuts. And on those four, he thinks that there's movement now towards the grocery tax. In fact, there was a poll. The Alabama Republican Party did a poll that came out just this past week, maybe this week, actually, and it found that Alabamians prefer a grocery tax cut over any kind of rebate check by an 83 to 17% margin. That's huge. 83% favorable on anything. You could not poll, do you love your mama, and get 83%. So when they're telling us that repealing the grocery tax has an 80% favorability, that's a big, big deal. All right, so State Representative Danny Garrett, who's a budget chairman out of Trustville in the State House, and State Senator Arthur Orr, budget chairman who serves out of Decatur, they have a bill. It would reduce the grocery taxes on some groceries by upwards of 3%, it would phase out over every odd-numbered year until the tax rate is zero from the state level. Now, it won't touch local taxes. So if you're worried about whether sales taxes or, you know, funding something in your area, your local taxes would still remain in place unless the city council takes, you know, some action on it. But the state sales tax of 4 cents on the dollar would be phased out. Now, how they define that, still to be determined. Got a little work to do on it. But right now, the plan is they're going to use what's called the WIC definition of food. WIC only has certain foods it categorizes. WIC is the Women, Infants, and Children's food stamp type program. And that includes eggs, milk, canned fish, juice, cheese, yogurt, fruits, vegetables, and whole grain bread. So all those things would then be tax-free. All right, it's a start. We'll take it. That's right there in your roundup for the State House right now. A couple other things you might want to know. So this one gets mixed bag. Me personally, I am not totally exercised about, economic incentives depending upon how they're done. I know some of my Republicans or my conservative brethren, they get real antsy about, is it corporate welfare? It's not all corporate welfare. It's corporate welfare if you give them money, all right? But if you have a new plant that wants to build in your area and they're going to put a $24 million investment in and hire 150 people, that's kind of a big deal. That brings in families. That brings in jobs. They eat more in your restaurant. They do things in your community. And then you decide as a community and as a state to give them a 10-year rebate on their taxes or, void their property taxes for a period of time or whatever. Where's the problem? You can also give them free access to training their personnel through AIDT, which is a state agency that trains people for high tech and industrial jobs. So all that to say, I'm not sure why there would be a big problem with some of these incentives. Now, if you don't put what we call clawbacks in it, that's where you tell them, you can do this, but if you don't hire X amount of people by a certain date, you got to pay the state back. That kind of thing has to happen. That's responsibility. That's accountability. Nonetheless, the state House and Senate have now been passing these bills. It's the only agenda item the governor has really said she wants. And they're moving forward on the renewal of the Alabama Jobs Act and dealing with tax credits for new businesses and increasing old businesses. All right, this is all happening in Montgomery. We're going to talk about it more when we get back. And then top of the half hour, we have Stephanie Smith from the Alabama Policy Institute calling in. You guys stay tuned. We got a lot more of that, where that comes from. We'll be right back. Back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right, making it cool to be a conservative. Hey, here's another thing going on. We're doing number one of the Triple Dipper State House Roundup. And we got, by the way, we got two callers coming up. I think both are going to be great. Of course, Stephanie Smith is the first one. She's always great. She comes on at 3:00, going to give us some of her thoughts on the State House Roundup, things she's seeing. Plus, I guarantee you, we're going to talk about school choice, because in a minute I'll tell you about a major school choice bill that just got dropped. Although I am already hearing that our current state superintendent, Ed Mackey, is just saying how this is just not a good idea. This is bad. Well, of course, now the educrats are circling the wagons. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. Right now, though, you may want to know that in the realm of education, we've got a bill out there that's coming through our state legislature. State Representative Ed Oliver from down yonder in Dadeville, Republican. He's got his divisive concepts bill. The divisive concepts bill basically says we're not going to teach kids that they are wrong because they were born a certain color. How controversial can that possibly be? Well, apparently it's very controversial. And, of course, it's racist. How dare you teach against racism? That's racist to teach against racism. What? Kid? I mean, there's no winning here. Anyway, intense debate this week in the Alabama legislature, according to Yellowhammer. My friend Yaffe up in Huntsville wrote this one. The proposed law would ban the teaching of divisive topics related to race, sex, or religion, including the idea that people from any one group should be asked to feel guilty because of their race or gender. In other words, critical race theory. Don't do it. Keep it out of our schools. I'm trying to think who it was, but one of our listeners on the text line was saying that the school choice bill needs to include stuff about, divisive concepts. Well, that's what I said. It's separate legislation, and here's part of it. But nonetheless, the sponsor of the legislation defended his bill in an interview on Alabama Public Television. He said it does not prevent the teaching of any history. And that's what they do. They want to tell you, you're just trying to whitewash history. You're trying to avoid having us teach about slavery. No, we're not. Nowhere in the bill does it say that. Not at all. It says don't go teaching things that, by the way, were in the environment of slavery, like, oh, I don't know, maybe you're inferior or I'm superior because of the way we're born. He says we're all proponents of history, good, bad, and ugly. It's who we are. It's what makes us who we are. He also said schools should focus on teaching things that unite Alabamians rather than dividing them. And then, of course, a Democrat from Selma, Representative Prince Chestnut, he disagreed. He goes, he went straight to slavery. He went straight to the Confederate flag. Those are knucklehead arguments on this bill. Anyway, you got 21 Republican co-sponsors on it, and it just came out of committee in the House. In other words, the first hurdle is already over with. The bill was dropped in, and it came out of committee. It'll now go to the floor for potentially its third reading, and then hopefully onto the Senate. Here's another one, and I find this. So, Boomer, when you were in school, in high school, did y'all ever have classes like on life skills or financial literacy, that kind of stuff? Teach you how to balance your checkbook?
Nah, I don't remember that. I think there was a teacher that tried to help us with it a couple of times, but it wasn't a class.
It wasn't a class?
No.
Yeah, okay. So Yellowhammer News has got a piece here that it would make it, and the College Republicans are behind this bill, it would make it a requirement that a financial literacy curriculum is added to Alabama high school students. They have to have it in order to graduate.
I like it.
Do you?
I think it's really important for somebody to learn how to do this stuff.
Well, I do too. In fact, I'll tell you right now, I've learned some things the hard way.
Yeah, absolutely. Take all these kids that are coming out of high school. They don't know any of that.
Yeah.
I mean, their parents, a lot of parents don't think to do that with their kids and teach them about the money, and then they just don't know how to handle it when they get to college
I must have more money because I have more checks in my checkbook.
Right. No, then the importance of saving.
Yeah, all that. Mm. So, yeah, the bill has 9 subjects that will be taught, boom, just so you know. 9, yeah. It would touch on things like bank accounts, how to handle loans and investments, principles about money management, savings, credit and debt, basic money-related computing, how to balance your checkbook, how to keep a spreadsheet if you want to, and things about how to figure out what it means to figure out your interest rates and what you're being taxed. Ooh. I mean, this is pretty legit.
That's really good.
Yeah. Your mic's not on.
That's really good. I mean, that's way better than teaching about your specific gender. And all this other junk they're trying to push on us now, or the kids.
Let's see. Let's weigh this out. Let's see. You got, in one hand, you've got financial literacy, teaching them to be responsible. And on the other, you've got gender fluidity.
Make sure you talk to everyone with respect.
Inclusivity.
And inclusivity. Yeah.
There's your participation trophy. Thank you for being here.
Get me on participation.
All right. I got a couple things here that I won't go into because the callers calling in will be calling in about those things I won't go into. I don't know if I can say that again if I tried. But we got Susan DeBose, State Representative Susan DeBose from down yonder in Shelby County. She'll be calling in at 3:30. And she's got the bill right now that bans transgender athletes in college sports in Alabama. And then coming up here in just a few minutes, our friend Stephanie Smith from the Alabama Policy Institute will be calling in. We're going to talk about a new bill that got dropped in regarding school choice. It's called the Price Act. And I'm telling you right now, I'm for it. I am for this bill. And some of you out there that are conservatives, but you're scared of this bill because it doesn't do enough, do not for a second let the quest for the perfect outweigh the opportunity for the good. This is an opportunity for Alabama to really finally do something. But right now, I'm already hearing that leadership is sort of backing off. Well, dadgummit. And we're going to talk to Stephanie Smith. She was down there for the press conference when they announced the new bill. And the Alabama Policy Institute is pushing hard for this. And I joined them in that philosophy because we need this, man. Here we are ranked pretty much last in the nation. We got states all around us that spend less per child than we do, and they rank better. That tells you something's got to change about how we spend the money, not what money we spend. All right, y'all stay tuned. Phil Williams, Stephanie Smith coming right back up. We'll be right back.
You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international, and like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, listen, it's already inexplicably into the second hour. I'm not sure how that happens, but it's Friday, so we're all looking forward to 5 o'clock. We'll get there pretty quick at this rate. You know, I say that as if the clock just went faster, but it feels like it did, Boomer. I don't know.
It feels that way.
It just is. I mean, okay.
Yes.
Enough of that. We're wishing the clock was going fast, but not that we're not enjoying our time with you and about to enjoy our time with Stephanie Smith. So Stephanie Smith, a frequent flyer here on the show, comes on generally on Fridays. She has been recently appointed as the president of the Alabama Policy Institute, where I was proud to do work for a number of years. They do great conservative policy, and I just saw a picture of her the other day in a press conference down yonder in Montgomery, which means that she is in the thick of things. Stephanie Smith, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, Phil. Happy Friday. I like that. That's really cute.
Well, thank you. I'm pretty sure I stole that from my daughter, but yeah, it's.
Oh, that's even better. I like it better now. That's even better. I like it. That's cute.
So you guys have been busy, right? You had reception time down there in Montgomery, did a press conference, did a whole bunch of stuff. How things?
We did. It was a good week at API. Lots of work being done on legislation, lots of work, lots of phone calls, lots of questions on what kind of API's stance is on things and some background information on some other things. And then also the big moment that's kind of been, I mean, for years in the making for API, but at least a year in the making for me specifically, working on this piece of legislation called the Price Act, which
right.
is school choice, basically Alabama's version of school choice, that I've been working, alongside a coalition of folks to put together for, the better part of the year.
By the way, we're going to talk about the Price Act in more detail in a second, but I got to tell you, did you sure. see just today, I think it was, that State Superintendent of Education, Eric Mackey, came out saying some pretty negative things about the idea of passing school choice?
Yeah, that's pretty unsurprising. It was just waiting for that shoe to drop because it's very clearly even last year when there was a different version of school choice being debated, and for years prior, what ends up happening is that the powers that be, which I usually call educrats, and I don't even
yes.
mean that necessarily like as a negative, it's just who they are, which is education bureaucrats or people who work for some sort of organization or specifically for the government in education, it's a turf war. You know, they see this as a turf war instead of a freedom issue, and that's really frustrating, I think, to a lot of Alabamians with kids in school because it's not supposed to be an adversarial situation, and it's really supposed to be about the kids, not about the money.
No, absolutely right, and that's where they lose sight because they're so entrenched in the idea of save the system, do the things for the system. What does the system want? That they lose sight of the fact the system only exists for the kids, period.
That's right. I mean, if not for educating children, what is the purpose of children's education, right? So the frustrating thing is watching this unfold in years prior, and I guess cynically made the assumption it would happen again, and it is that, it becomes this us versus them, and us is us, right? And them is them. We're, parents are, the ultimate authority for their own children. And the parents are the ones who should be able to make decisions about how their kids are educated. And we've created this system, and I'm not anti-public education. I'm a public school kid, all the way through graduate school, public
yeah.
school.
Yep.
And so I'm not anti-public education at all. I've benefited from it. But there are situations where people need an opt-out. There are personal situations, there are academic situations, there are social situations, and then there are also ideological situations that people need an opt-out from what the public school system is offering And the frustrating thing is that there just doesn't even seem to be an understanding from the educrats in Montgomery that anybody would need that. And not only that, there's a question in their minds that they will flatly say out loud, which is they don't trust parents with their own children.
Well,
and that's a real problem.
It's absolutely a problem. So let me ask you this. The educrats aside, what really matters right now is the votes in the House and the Senate.
Right.
What is your sense? I mean, right now the bill just got introduced, but everybody knew it was coming. It wasn't like it was a brand new, you know, topic. School choice is polling higher than ever this year. But what are the what are you hearing from members of the House and Senate? What's the sentiment you're perceiving at this point?
Yeah, the sentiment has shifted some to the side of school choice. I think that that's for a couple of reasons. One is that, you know, with COVID, everybody was looking over their shoulder over the shoulder of their child and seeing what they're actually learning, and some people were pretty alarmed. Secondarily, there are a multitude of states who are tackling this issue right now.
Yeah.
They're falling like dominoes. Arkansas just passed it. Iowa just passed it. Arizona just passed it. West Virginia previously passed it. Florida passed it again, another expansion of their program. And so, you know, what API is trying to do is educate legislators and educate the public about what this means. What does school choice even mean? And then what are other states doing? What are other states doing that worked? What are other states doing that didn't work? How can we learn from other people's mistakes? And then we've crafted this piece of legislation that's intentionally a financial transaction so that there are no tentacles. And the idea behind it is parents need to be able to choose every year for every one of their children the best place for that child for that year. And that should include using some of their tax dollars in order to send them to a private school, send them to another public school, or to homeschool them if that's what they think is best for their child that year.
Okay, so let me ask you this. In the states that are already doing it, has the public school system crashed and burned and like, you know, it's no longer viable and the end of the world has come in terms of public education?
In zero of the states, public schools have crashed and burned. And in 100% of the states that have done school choice thus far, public education has actually improved because of what you and I know intrinsically, which is competition is good.
Yeah.
And when there is competition, then all of the boats rise with that tide. And also, there's this other just really foundational piece that I know I keep harping on, but when you hand parents the agency back on how to educate their kids, it makes things happen and to the positive for parents and for kids. And again, that's not to say that parents are adversarial to even their own public school system. The percentages are really interesting. I didn't realize this until I really got knee-deep in this, which is, you know, of all of these school choice initiatives across the nation that have been around, you know, now for, I mean, debatable how long they've been around, but really taking off in the last 15, 20 years, about 2 to 5% annually take advantage of the choice.
Yeah. It's not,
and so
nobody, the entire population doesn't walk out of all the public schools. You're right. Exactly right. Well, let me ask you
this Chicken Little feeling, and the sky hasn't fallen anywhere else. So I'm not sure why it would fall here in Alabama.
It won't. It won't at all. But we still got to get past the mentality that it could. And so let me ask you this. With about 3.5 minutes left here, now I've had the two bill sponsors. The House sponsor is State Representative Ernie Yarbrough. The Senate sponsor is State Senator Larry Stutz. I've had them both on the show, but that was prior to the bill being dropped in. So So kind of bullet point us through the contents of the bill, what it does, and let us know if there's been any revisions since they may have talked to them a few weeks ago.
The bill is materially the same as when you talked to them a couple of weeks ago. There have been some minor tweaks about, you know, the internal financials of, you know, how we're calculating numbers and things like that. But the basic gist of it is this. If you have a child that is school age, you would receive a $7,000 ESA, which is educational savings account, if you decide that you want one. That savings account wouldn't be a debit card, wouldn't be cash in your pocket. it would be administered by the Department of Revenue. And what would happen is that that dollar amount would be basically reserved for your child for you to use in any purpose you saw fit for their education that year. Now, that's not to say it's a free-for-all. We're not handing people, you know, a $7,000 debit card for them to go learn about the beach in the Bahamas. That's not what I'm that's not what this is. I know. There are specific things that you have to spend the money on. Now, it is broad, and it's intentionally broad, because some kids need other things than other kids need. And so things like speech pathology fees are included. So if your child needs a tutor, that would be included. Tuition, obviously, at private schools, curriculum and books, and things that you need, devices and things that you need in order to homeschool are on the list. But all of that would be administered by the Department of Revenue on an annual basis.
And private schools are allowed?
Yes. This would be public to public, public to private, and public or private to home. So it's a situation to where within 3 years, every single student in the state of Alabama would be able to use this as an option annually,
okay, so,
for whatever purpose they needed for their education.
Got about a minute left. Let me ask you this. I had one of my conservative listeners, and she's fairly conservative, mm-hmm. but she's very ardent. I mean, she's adamantly opposed to this bill because she swears it's a way for them to turn off the tap. If you don't do what the government wants, they could turn off the funds. I told her no. I felt like it was a contract between the individual and the state, and they would not be able to do that because we're constitutionally mandated to allow for an education to take place.
Yeah, that's right. And it's one of those, I understand the fear. I'm a mom too. Yeah, you know, I have six kids that, you know, in this age group. And I've been outside of the public system the entire time. And so I get the fear, but it's unfounded. This is an annual contract. It's not a lifetime agreement. And there's the fear of new strings being attached are always there. New strings could be attached on anything at any time. That's the legislative process. But this bill specifically says 8 different times that this is a financial transaction. This doesn't change any homeschool laws. This doesn't change any private school laws. This doesn't change any sort of high school athletic association laws. All of those laws are in place. This is specifically a financial transaction on an annual basis. The end.
All right. And I'm running long, but I'm going to ask it anyway. What about testing of private schools? Are they going to mandate that they have to be certified under a public school system process?
This bill specifically says no.
Okay.
Because what it says is that all of the current laws for private schools, parochial schools, Christian schools, any charter schools, all of those laws stay in place.
Okay.
And so because we don't have testing or accreditation laws for those now, well, they do for charter schools because those are actually public schools. But for the ones outside of the public school system, there is no testing or accreditation necessary. Then those laws stay the same.
Well, my friend, I ran long on purpose because that was an action-packed discussion. But listen, we're gonna stay on top of this, and my listeners are on top of it, and we want you to keep us posted. If we need to have you jump in the middle of a week sometime to update us on something, you do it. All right.
Happy to.
All right.
Thanks for having me, Phil.
Thanks, Stephanie. That's Stephanie Smith, president of the Alabama Policy Institute, on top of this thing. She was down there. Go ahead and take us to the break, Boomer. She was down there just the other day for the announcement of the introduction of the Price Act. It is the Cadillac version of school choice. It's, in my opinion, it's what Alabama needs. And she was down there standing alongside Becky Gerritsen from Eagle Forum and legislators and other members of the conservative community saying, this is the way. And I'm telling you, we need to push this, folks. Get behind it. All right, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right, saving the world one soundbite at a time. Hey, tell you what, we got very little time, so I see I got a caller on the line. I'll jump on it real quick. Boomer, let me grab line one, Alan from Hartsel. Alan, how you doing?
I'm doing fine, Phil.
Good. What's on your mind?
I'd like to see a course called Basic Survival Skills. These kids in high school.
Yeah.
All young men to take basic home ec skills, you know, like that fun stuff, cooking, cleaning the house, washing clothes, things like that.
Yeah,
and young ladies to have basic mechanical skills, you know, checking oil, changing the tire, stuff like that.
So and then we used to do those back in the day.
During that same semester, let's throw in basic accounting, like bookkeeping, checkbook balance and stuff like that.
Well,
I know some young men and young ladies wouldn't like that, but it would help them in the long run.
Well, I don't know if you heard it or not, but there's a bill right now in the legislature to require a class on what they call financial literacy, how to balance your checkbook, what it means to take out a loan, all those kind of things being put in. So you want to basically bring back home ec, shop class, and add financial literacy and call it all what? Life skills, I guess, right?
I would call it life skills.
Absolutely.
I mean, you know, a lot of young guys getting out of school say, I'm going to go to college. I'm going to live in an apartment. Well, you run down here to a local hamburger place or something like that, that's fine. But it's going to cost you an arm and a leg to survive.
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely.
So, you know, let's teach them something in high school that maybe, well, I get a girlfriend to do that. No, you're not going to always have somebody to do that.
Get your girlfriend to do that. It's not the answer for life.
But anyway.
Hey, thanks for the
call,
Alan.
I'm getting that.
All right, man. Appreciate you. Thanks for calling in. I got a bunch of textures that I don't know if how much can I get to here? You got another caller on the line, Boomer?
Oh, no, not another caller. But Jenny is a new texter on the line.
Yeah.
She actually asked, would those already in private school be eligible for the ESA voucher, or you must be eligible only if you leave a public school?
Yes, you would. You would be eligible if you are already in a private school. It could then become something you're able to receive that for that you're not receiving now. I will say this: private schools have to basically apply to the state, because there's all the usual paperwork to be, and not the state has to certify you per se. They're not going to come in and go, okay, now we've got you, private school. They're not going to do that. What they're saying is you have to enroll in the program. You can't just be a fly-by-night school that goes, yeah, me and my brother, we got a school, yeah. No, it's not going to work that way.
Hey,
but,
I'm starting a school today.
Yeah, just me and you, buddy. We got the Phil and Boomer School of Higher Education. But so to answer her question, my understanding is yes. If you are already in a private school, you would now suddenly be able to apply if indeed your school was participating by being a recipient of state funds for the Price Act. Anyway, more to come on this. I think it's a good one. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back with State Representative Susan DeBose. All you Right Side ruffians out there, you are listening to Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right.
And here we go.
And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. That would be Alabama. I'm talking about this show broadcast way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, Mississippi, thrown in just for good measure. All right, well, we're actually still in number one of today's Triple Dipper. We're doing the State House Roundup, talking about some things that have come out of Montgomery or they're being worked on right now in Montgomery as the legislative session is currently on. And so coming up next right now, waiting on the lines, State Representative Susan DeBose. She currently represents House District 45, which I believe is down in Shelby County. And she is one of those conservatives who decided to run for office this past time and actually take on a longstanding incumbent. She beat, I believe it was Representative Dickie Drake. And now she is now in office and has a bill that deals with transgender athletes. So without me saying any more, let me just bring her on. State Representative Susan DeBose, how you doing?
Hey, Phil, thank you for having me on. I'm doing great today.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for making time. Hey, listen, your bill, first of all, I'll say this. Congratulations being a freshman with 40 co-sponsors on a bill that you've got. So tell us about it.
Oh, well, thank you. And it passed out of committee unanimously, bipartisan support, passed out of education committee. But what it is, it's a women's sports bill at the collegiate level. We passed 2 years ago a women's sports bill that protects K through 12 athletes. We want, of course, women to play with biological women. It seems very common sense, but we have seen in recent years where there are actually some athletes that are not biological women, and they are taking spots on women's sports teams, taking places on the podium and winning scholarships and records. And we feel like women deserve to have not only an opportunity to play, but a place to opportunity to win. And women need to play and compete against biological women.
Well,
so that's,
you know,
what that bill is about.
It's amazing that we have to have a bill to even say that, to be honest. I mean, that what a
it
what
really
a,
is.
Yeah, what a statement. And now I know that there was somebody who came and actually protested you, an Auburn father, who said this is basically a pretend problem, according to an article I read in AL Daily News, which I don't know where what rock he's been hiding under, because you may not have seen a collegiate athlete do that in Alabama yet. But it doesn't mean it's not happening everywhere around the nation. And, oh, by the way,
that's
we
right.
compete with teams from other states.
That's right. That's right. It's happening everywhere. Just because it may not have happened here in Alabama yet, that's the whole idea. We want to protect women athletes. We want to stop this before it does get to Alabama, because it will be here. It's just a matter of when. You know, we all know men and women are different, that their biology is different. They're born different, no matter how much. How many hormones you take or testosterone suppressant a man takes, his body will always be bigger, stronger, faster, bigger muscles, more cardiovascular capacity than a woman's. So, I mean, we just know that. It's science. We want to go by the science, and we want to protect these women athletes. So, and it will come to Alabama if we don't stand up for what's right.
Well, in Alabama, we already had legislation that was enacted. So K-12 is already protected in this manner. Yours just picks it up at
That's
the college
right.
level, correct?
That's right. And you know, it matters even more at the college level, because, you know, think about these athletes that start training, some of them just, you know, 4 years old. Some of these swimmers, they'll start swimming at age four and work for over a decade to get a scholarship opportunity or to win a national championship or, you know, to have a place on the team. So it's really even more critical, in my opinion, at the collegiate level. So I was happy to have the support of the whole committee. There were, you know, Democrat women, Democrat men on that committee that voted for it and that personally told me that they were in support of the bill. So I'm actually going to be taking it to the floor this Tuesday.
Oh, okay.
So it's turning around quick. So it got picked by the Rules Committee to go on the floor this Tuesday. It'll be my first opportunity to have a bill on the floor, and it's a pretty big bill. And I imagine, you know, we'll have a lot of people down there watching what happens. But I didn't come down there to Montgomery to sit and listen and watch for 4 years. A lot of people kind of take that philosophy, or they'll tell you, look, when you come to Montgomery for the first time, you just sit back and you just listen and you just learn for the best.
No.
It takes a long time to be able to do things down here. And I just don't have that attitude. I'm not going down there to spend the rest of my life I want to go down there and hit the ground running. And obviously, I need to learn. I'm not perfect, and I'll make mistakes along the way. But the best way to learn is by doing and making mistakes and learning from your mistakes and doing better. So that's my philosophy. Well, I'm going to get down there to do something.
Well, I applaud that. Let me ask you, too, procedurally speaking, so you're going to the floor Tuesday. If you reach final passage on Tuesday, of course, then it transmits to the Senate. Do you have a Senate sponsor already that's going to carry the bill for you upstairs?
Yeah, April Weaver's going to do that upstairs. And she's already started some work on that. I'm not sure how. She hasn't taken it to the floor yet. I think she's trying to get it into. I don't know that it's come to the committee yet. But I've got somebody up there that's going to be taking care of that.
Okay.
So it's very, very likely to become a law this year.
Well, that's outstanding, and it's needed. And you know what's funny is they say, you know, those who are against your bill or against legislation of this kind, they will say openly, there's really no difference. We're just actually women now, and we want to compete. But what you don't see women trying to go compete in men's sports, do you? Because the differences
yeah,
are so
true.
Obvious. So it can't just work in one direction. It's got to work in both
that's
directions.
Right.
And it doesn't.
Yeah.
But
if their case were truthful and scientific, then you would see it working in the other direction, and you don't see any attempts by, I guess it would be a trans man, right?
Which yeah.
A woman transitioning, trying to get on a men's team. You don't see that happening.
Well, not only do we support your bill here at Right Side, but I'll tell you, too, it's kind of interesting because Boomer, who answered the phone for you a minute ago, he played college baseball. His wife was a college gymnast at University of Alabama. And, you know, cannot imagine his wife having to compete with a male gymnast. It would just been a whole different world. It didn't work.
Yeah. I don't think I want to see that. So we'll try to make sure that doesn't happen here.
Just the leotard alone would bother me. I'm just saying.
Yeah. And thinking about the uneven parallel bar, I don't know. I don't think that was acceptable.
Well, okay. We want to keep track of this, and we'll see where it goes. But you've got a great sponsor upstairs. By the way, so what you described, so is Senator Weaver, April Weaver, is she actually already have a companion bill upstairs, or is she waiting for yours to come up?
She may be waiting on mine. I wish I knew more. I have been so focused, and what I have done has moved so much faster than I thought I would. That I haven't, I mean, we've been texting back and forth, and she just said, I've tried to move, you know, she just gave me a little text. I have such complete faith in April, I'm not even worried about her.
Well,
you know, I'm worried about me. April has got this.
Well,
I think
between the two of you, you're gonna carry the day. I look forward to it. And then congratulations, too, on having a piece of major legislation to the floor in your freshman quadrennium here. So, anyway.
Yeah, we've got a great, strong freshman class. I had a lot of support from members of my class. Just, you know, we're all really supporting each other, and we're all kind of just now having the opportunity to bring forth our first bills. And so knowing you have your classmates, and we make up about one-third of the body, so knowing you have that many people behind you and have your back, it's really a good feeling.
Well, State Representative Susan DeBose from House District 45 in Shelby County, appreciate your time on this one. You got a friendly show on this one, so we'll keep track of you and have you back on again, all right?
I appreciate that, Bill. Thank you.
All right, thank you.
I'd love to come. All righty. Bye-bye.
All right, Boomer, go and take us to the break. We'll call that a wrap on the State House Roundup, but I tell you what, that it is amazing that we have to have legislation to prevent men from competing in women's sports. What the heck, man? Resist, folks. I'm telling you, my monologue today, if you didn't hear it, resist. Do you want to live in a country where men can go and beat up on women in sports? Literally beat up on them. It's just amazing that we're there. What happened? All right, wake up, America. We got work to do. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back.
We'll be right back.
And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right, saving the world one soundbite at a time. Hey, I'm going to jump over the text lines for a minute here. And we are going to switch gears to the next part of the Triple Dipper momentarily. But let me just go do some text. Because you guys are texting in like mad. I mean, like, wow, how do I keep up? So if you want to text in, 833-687-4448. If you text in for the very first time, text the word right side to that number. Text right side to 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. When you do, you'll get an automated message back that says, hey, you right side ruffian, thanks for, you know, texting in, and tell us your first name, where you're from. We'll get you in the system along with scads of others. We got lots of scads, don't we, Boomer? I mean,
lots of scads.
Yeah, it's all kinds of scads.
All kinds.
All right. In fact, Jenny is one of our new texters. Jenny, tell us where you're from. Brian from Huntsville. Where'd he go? Brian from Huntsville says, I was taught that men are supposed to protect women and children, not abuse them. Otherwise, we're not men. I agree, man. I was too. And there's nothing wrong with that, by the way. Taught to open the door for women, taught to be courteous, deferential. Anyway, Badger from Athens, it's a professional exactly. Professional domestic abuse games. That's what it sounds like. Well, where are we at? Sam from Priceville. He says, I would like to challenge Senator Orr to support that. I'm sure he's talking about the Price Act, the school choice bill, I assume. So if I'm correct, thanks, Sam. Appreciate you checking in. Raven from Russellville texted in several things. Where was it? He said, all it takes for tyranny to flourish is for good men to do nothing. And just a FYI, I graduated high school with Gary Palmer in Hackleburg, Alabama. He and I were friends. Yeah, good dude. He also says he remembers the days of civilian marksmanship. We still got the CMP program, too, by the way. They're one of our advertisers, a civilian marksmanship program. So if you're not familiar with CMP, if you've not seen the CMP Park in Talladega, holy cow. I call that place a country club, and it's open to anybody and everybody. But it's part of the CMP program, so check it out. That's a really, really cool place. Dwight from Decatur was asking about that school choice bill. Will private schools take the same standardized test of parents? There is not going to be any. Right now, the bill does not contemplate any testing that those schools don't already want to take. All right, there's not going to be any mandates or you know, forcing state-sponsored testing on private schools. So we hope that the bill remains in that status, because apparently, if you look at it, the stats have been pretty darn good. A lot of these private schools are coming out with a higher graduation rate, with a lot of kids going into scholarships. And so, you know, why go break it if it ain't broke? Why go fix it if it ain't broke? And why go break it? Jeremy from Huntsville, Democrats' unity provides a misconception of righteousness and a miscarried consensus of representation. Wow. I need to write that down. Democrats' unity provides the misconception of righteousness and a miscarried consensus of representation. I'm digging it. Jeremy, man, that was sharp. Marcus from Huntsville says, my oldest daughter started mowing lawns with an electric mower when she was 10. I doubt most people do that. We need money matters taught in schools. The bill's out there. We're waiting to see what happens. Eric from Eva, Alabama says, if they're going to limit the grocery tax removal to WIC, I'm guessing it's because that's good enough to keep you alive, then SNAP ought to be the same. You know, I agree. So there's two programs. We got WIC and SNAP. And I got to look back and see, but my recollection was WIC might actually be defined, one of them is defined by federal law. And so I don't know why they're different, but you're right. SNAP actually includes more foods than WIC does. But right now, they're working on the WIC definition. So there's that. John from Pike Road, from down yonder Pike Road, says, I might be making more out of it than I should, but catching the leaker so soon to me was way too easy. He says, they haven't caught the person that leaked the Dobbs decision. They haven't caught the person that killed DNC staffer Seth Rich. They haven't caught the person that planted the pipe bombs at the RNC and DNC headquarters in D.C. on January 6th, a city that the most surveillance of any city in the world doesn't add up. I agree, man. There's some wackiness in this, but I think that some of those you're talking about, I speculate they know who did it, and for reasons that only the deep state knows, they've chosen not to say so. But anyway, point well taken, John from Pike Road. Anita from South Huntsville Says Phil, as an alumni of the state senate, how many emails and phone calls do you say you received on any given issue, from a small or less publicized issue all the way up to a hot button? In other words, how much impact does one voice have on an elected official? Okay, so great question, Anita. Thank you for that. So here's the thing. The big carbon copy emails, the ones that, you know, you can go into somebody's system and it generates an automated email and all they do is change your name, but every one says the same. There were times when I would get flooded with those. I would have 150, 200 a day coming in that said the exact same thing. You know, dear senator, please vote no on this. That would destroy something, or that would be whatever. And signed so-and-so. And then the exact same one, automated. Never worked. In fact, at some point, you have to tune them out. At some point, you begin to start having to block them because they're jamming up your entire inbox. The ones that made a difference were the ones that sent me personal contacts, because I made my cell phone known. I made my secretary's number known. I made my email known. And the people who would contact me direct and personal, didn't matter what the bill was, big or small, even if I didn't agree with their opinion mattered more because they took the time. That's what I'm saying. So, Anita, there's, I guess, the best answer I can give you. Brenda from Athens, she says, where'd he go? Isn't it odd that the two largest security breaches happened when Joe Biden was in the executive office? Interesting. Isn't it odd the two largest security breaches okay, her text came in twice. Sorry, I'm reading the same thing. Yeah, I get it. What else we got here? Dustin from Hazel Green. Dustin from Hazel Green has got an interesting thing that I need to go back and look at all of his attachments. They're basically like text messages, I think, between he or somebody in the family and his child's teacher. But Hazel Green Elementary is saying that they are not allowing parents to attend a field trip. And I don't understand why that would be. But it's a third grade field trip, and why you wouldn't let parents go along as chaperones or helpers, I have no idea. So anyway, there's that. All right, tons of text messages. And then John from Huntsville says, snap, wick, and pop. Gotta love it. All right, we got a brand new texter too. Jim from Athens, appreciate you being in the listening audience. And Jenny, we just found our new texter. Jenny's from Killen, Alabama. All right, listen, we're going to switch gears in a minute. We are going to talk about this this leak issue. I am curious, and I was on Dale Jackson's show this morning up in Huntsville. I am curious, as we talked about it on Dale's show, do y'all believe this kid who's been arrested is a hero or a villain? Hero or a villain? I'm seeing some pretty, you know, amazing, you know, text messages and pundits saying, this kid told us things we needed to know. Not really. Not really. In my opinion, I think that's a bit of a stretch. But then again, was he a freedom fighter or was he just a knucklehead? I mean, was he out there doing something ideologically driven, trying to spread the enlightenment, or was he just trying to impress his friends? And does that in any way mean he didn't break the law? And oh, by the way, who else is involved? So a lot of questions still remain in this case. We're going to break it down here in a minute. We're going to talk about what we know about the documents, why they were sensitive. Should they have all been sensitive? And what do you think about the leaker, hero or villain? I'd love to know. Text it in, 833-687-4448. We'll be right back.
Listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, covering down on all the issues. And like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. All right, we're actually, it took 2 hours to get a whole dipper done, Boom. That's pretty impressive.
Well, it was a good dipper.
When you got that much to dip, you know, what do you say? But anyway, yeah, we're moving to number two on the triple dipper. I'm just calling it fixing the leak. Fixing it. You got a leak, you got to plug that thing up. Well, all right, so here's the deal. I know all of y'all have heard about this situation with classified documents making it out into the real world. You know what I'm saying? So suddenly we have data that was supposed to be protected, unprotected. Whether you believe all of it should have been or not, doesn't matter. The fact is it was. So there's a parallel discussion here. One is, why are some things considered classified? Well, first of all, just because we know this thing now doesn't mean that that thing didn't contribute to five other things that, if they're all put together in the same package, creates a major classification issue. So you just have to tuck them all away for a moment, I guess. The other piece, though, is if we're going to say it's classified, then how does a 21-year-old kid get to post pictures of it on his, you know, game platform, you know, talk chat room with his buddies? It doesn't work that way. At least it's not supposed to. So I'll tell you right now. Here's the thing. What we know. I'm gonna start unpacking what we know in great. I'll back up by telling you, I spent numerous years of my service time with what's called a TSSCI, a top secret SCI clearance, which means that I had access to, you know, lots of crazy cool stuff. And when you get into TSSCI, then you may be working on a SAP, which is a program that's even more compartmentalized, and you have to get what's called read on to that SAP, and then when you're done, you have to get read off of that SAP. Here's where we know that the kid, who his name is spelled, it's unusual, got an X in the middle, but apparently his name is pronounced Teixeira. He's a 21-year-old resident of North Dighton, Massachusetts. He was a active duty. He was on active duty, I understand, as an Air National Guardsman in Massachusetts. He was a computer guy. I don't know if he's cybersecurity or just a systems specialist, but anyway, nonetheless, he's a computer guy. 21 years old. Was the information TS level? Yes, it was. It actually was. He got it off of a system called JWix. So you got three major systems that you can imagine data being transmitted on that the military uses. You got the NIPRNet, the CIPRNet, and the JWix. All right, the NIPRNet is just basically open internet. You can email your buddy about lunch on the NIPRNet, right? You can send somebody the meeting time to brief the commander on NIPRNet. It's all good. NIPRNet is like anything else you and I would use, you know, in our day to day. It's the Army's version of Gmail or the military's version of Gmail. All right, so there's the NIPRNet. You can hang stuff out on the NIPRNet, like you might get your. If you've ever been in the military and you got your early bird brief, it's just like sometimes more detailed than what you get on a newspaper, but it's just like stuff, open source news, latest trends, how to update your perm so that your own personal files are good to go. NIPRNet, all good. Then there's CIPRNet. CIPRNet stands for Secret Internet Protocol Router Network, and the CIPRNet is where you send classified emails, basic, that are at the confidential or secret level. Secret is confidential, and then it goes secret, and then you get the top secret, and then you have TSSCIs, and then there's other stuff, you know, with acronyms that I don't even go into. But you got the NIPRNet, all good, wide open, anybody can see it. You got the CIPRNet, that's where you have confidential or secret transmission of information, and then you have JWix, which is higher than all both of those. JWix stands for the Joint Worldwide Intelligence Communication Systems, and a JWix is where top secret data is hung or transmitted, and it's usually going to wind up being extremely sensitive. It's going to wind up being something that has military or national implications or even international implications, and the JWix is not to be messed with. And the JWix is usually it's going to be on a separate system. It's isolated from the CIPR and the NIPR. You can't even air gap things over from JWix into CIPR. You can't. It's isolated from that. And that's where this kid got his data. So a 21-year-old kid had access to a JWix system. And allegedly what he did was he went in there and he began taking notes at first. And then he would go kind of transcribe his notes, put them in his pocket, and take them out and give them to his friends on this game platform. Literally, they're gamers, and they talk to each other. And allegedly, he just wanted them to understand what the world was like out there and be aware of their surroundings and yada, yada. Okay, that ain't the way you do it, dude. You can do that with an article off of National Review or the New York Times if you wanted to. But then it got one step further. Apparently, J-Wix, he had access to a J-Wix classified level printer, which, by the way, yes, you have classified printers and copiers. If you have to make copies, it's understood that imagery can be left inside a machine, so therefore you don't mix what prints out of certain machines. And so he had access to a J-Wix printer, apparently, and printed stuff and stuck it in his pocket and walked out with it. And then later on posted the pictures, maps, briefing slides, and they were clearly labeled top secret. Well, dadgum. Put aside whether you like the information getting out or not. Put aside. The fact is, if that stuff can walk out in a 21-year-old's pocket, then what else can walk out in a 21-year-old's pocket? So then he posted all out there, allegedly, like again, to impress his friends. And now here we are, because what happened was, eventually it got out. It got off the platform, and it got sent onto, I think it's called 4chan, and then it got grabbed by a Russian-based online platform that posted it for all the world to see. Well, that's where it went big. That's where our intel community finally woke up and realized this was happening. So dang, a 21-year-old kid just got all that done. I got a caller. I'll take it. I got about 2 minutes. So is that Clarence? Clarence from Huntsville. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, man, doing good. How you doing?
I'm all right. What's up?
Hey, I'll tell you what. Honestly, at 21 years old, his story is more believable to me than what you're seeing to happen with Joe Biden. Joe Biden had access to higher classified information than that he had put in his garage.
Oh yeah.
Here's another thing to think about. How come the FBI only showed up to Trump's house and this kid's house? Why didn't they show up to Hillary's house? Why didn't they show up to Biden's house?
Well, because there's two levels of justice. You and I know that.
Well, and that's exactly right. So what this makes me wonder, they're going to crucify this kid. You know it as well as I do. And is that justified based off of what he did? Sure. But if we're going to go out and do it that way, how do we as Americans continue to let this happen? Because if you actually look, his role model for what he did, he probably was thinking, well, nothing happened to anybody else that leaks out classified information or that actually takes it home and stores it.
Well, I'll tell you what, though, if he was paying attention, he would have seen that low-level guys like him do get punished. I mean, you've got several out there to look at. It's only if you're a high-level Democrat you get away with it.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's where the 21-year-old part of them comes in. You know, yeah. we don't always think, you know, straight at 21 years old. But, you know, that's the biggest problem to me is you know, we're sitting here and making this kid out. And I always, whenever this happens, the media and the Biden administration loves this happening right now. What are they using this as deception for something else going on? And that's the way when I look at this. Why are they blowing it up like this? Because they're doing something else behind the scenes, and they're trying to cause attention to this only.
I don't disagree with that. And the only thing I would say, though, to kind of mitigate what you just said is, but it happened on their watch, and that ain't good for them in the end. But,
well, you know as well as I do, nobody's heads are going to roll besides this 21-year-old. You know that.
Well, dang. You know, that's the other point you bring up, man, because and I'm about to have to go to it. I tell you what, Clarence, I got to run to break, so let me do that. Thank you
Absolutely,
for the call,
man.
Buddy. Appreciate it. Boomer, take us to the break. I'll talk it out. But while we're heading to break, let me just say that Clarence is right. We're watching to see whether anybody else is going to wind up, you know, being called on the carpet. Well, guess what? This 21-year-old didn't work for himself. He was not his own supervisor. He was not his own raider. He was a freaking E3, airman first class. There is somebody out there who was supposed to be watching over him who failed miserably at their job, and they need to have their names put in the paper like his. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Man, I'm telling you, we got some stuff on the show right now. But let me tell you, too, one of our ad sponsors, the people who have been with us since the beginning of the show, is ZLA Solutions. So if you're not familiar, you need to be. ZLA Solutions is one of the best out there at helping you with all kinds of different business end solutions. They got things like quality control, sorting and containment. They can help you with your logistics, your warehousing. But their bread and butter remains staffing. It doesn't matter whether it's temporary or direct hire. They can help you with putting people in place so that your work site has what it needs in terms of manpower. They can do it, man. They can do the recruiting, the background checks, the drug testing if necessary. Blue collar, white collar, no collar, I always say it, don't matter. But ZLA Solutions just had one of their biggest years ever at putting people and jobs together. So check them out, ZLA Solutions at ZLAUSA.com. That's their website, ZLAUSA.com. And if you talk to them, please tell them you heard about it on Right Side Radio. I know these folks personally, and I get a kick out of it when they tell me they heard from another one of y'all. All right, let's move on here. Have I got a caller? Is that Jeff? Jeff from Indiana. What's shaking, bud?
Oh, just everything, man. Especially when I'm filling out medical forms that want to know what sex, gender, if I'm a furry or whatever.
Did you tell them how you identify today? Did you tell them you identify as a healthy rich man?
No, I should have told him I identify as President Biden. So I should have some Secret Service come around me.
What's on your mind, man?
If I was this kid that leaked all this stuff, I would go to the jailers and demand to be released right now because under the Constitution, you have the equal justice under the law. And I don't think until Hillary and all the rest of them are put in prison or something, there's no equal justice. So what right do they have to hold this guy?
Well, the interesting thing is there won't be any case precedent on Hillary for him to rely on. She just got away with it, socially and quietly. And unfortunately, everything I think that he's got there to rely on does not go well in his favor, like the young kid who was a submariner who took pictures inside his nuclear submarine and shouldn't. And got nabbed for it right when Hillary was destroying her server. This kid was doing that. He's the one that came out of the bad end.
Yeah, the best advice I could give him is to have his name legally changed to Hunter Biden, and no one will ever speak a word of it again.
It'll
come off all the news wires.
It'll all be over, and he'll be selling art for $500,000 a pop right there.
There you go. I'm half serious, and everything, because if he did change his name, the news reports wouldn't do it. It wouldn't say a word about it.
What's your druther on this kid? Is he a hero or a villain?
He's just a knucklehead who was trying to impress people, but he shouldn't be. I don't think they should do anything to him because if Hillary Clinton can be subpoenaed for her hard drives and everything and willfully take them out and smash them to pieces and not get any repercussions from that, how can you hold somebody responsible if you're not going to hold everybody responsible?
I know, but you know what? I don't want Hillary Clinton to be the model for the way things go from now on. I mean, I think the kid's going to have to face some repercussions, and it's just the way it's going to be. His military career is over. His life's going to be changed now because he made some stupid, stupid, stupid mistakes. But I don't want Hillary Clinton to be the role model for how the justice system should go. But, hey, Jeff, I got to go, man. I'm going to get some texts in before the break. But appreciate you, brother. Take care.
Have a good weekend, Phil.
All right, buddy. You too. I'm going to go to the text lines because this topic is lit it up. John from Brownsboro says, the question is here, who benefits from his information leak? I want tax records. So I guess John's saying he thinks he was paid. He had a paragraph before that. He says, I think the leaker may be the fall guy. I forgot whom you said commented that it was wrapped up too cleanly and quickly, but he said, I feel the same. A former state senator couldn't get a driver's license faster than he was apprehended. I don't know what he's talking about there. But anyway, the bottom line is he believes there's more to the story. All right, Sama, the truck driver, says maybe he'll claim to be a Democrat and get off Biden-free. my truck driver caucus is all in agreement right now. Ron from Tuscumbia says the Motor City Madman has announced his farewell tour. Okay, I did not know that, but I'm guessing that means that our Ted Nugent is looking at calling it retirement. John from Huntsville says, I don't understand what the big deal is. 21-year-old guy thought a law had been passed that made it legal to steal and post classified top secret documents since Hillary and Biden did it multiple times, and nothing happened to them. Allison from Madison, no one will ever go after Hillary. People like breathing too much. Yeah, there it is. Everybody who goes after Hillary winds up, you know, having to post suicide watch, right? Glenn from Bluntsville, he says it's an integrity issue. I agree. It is. And the kids got an integrity. Kids also got, it's a maturity issue too, I think, here. If he was a 31-year-old, I'd go, but he's 21-year-old trying to impress his buddies, allegedly. If that's the case. Now, somebody asked the question, is it treason? No, it's not, because treason, I believe, is an intent-based crime. You have to have intent to do harm to your own nation. Generally speaking, in a military format or something that puts you into a detrimental position as a country. This right now does not have all the hallmarks for that, unless there's more to the story. But right now, was it still a violation? Yes. Was it reckless? Very likely. Can he be tried under the UCMJ, the Uniform Code of Military Justice? I'm saying yes, he can. So I don't know where they're going to try this, by the way. I'm not sure if it is UCMJ action or it's going to be purely a federal action, but nonetheless, it's triable. Jay from Hartzell, the administration has more leaks than a calendar. Yeah. Okay. Marcus from Huntsville. If he wanted his gamer buddies to know the truth about the state of the nation, he could have just sent them a link to Right Side Radio. Thank you, Marcus. Appreciate you, brother. New listener, Johnny from Fayette. Johnny, glad you're in there, man. Thank you for joining. Scott from Huntsville. I think the media is using the classified documents leak as a distraction from the Trump indictments falling apart and blowing up into the Democrat Party's face. Maybe. You know what? But though it's still if you get down to it, this leak is still an embarrassment to the current administration. It's not going to embarrass Trump. It's not going to hide anything. You're not wagging the dog by having a good thing over here to hide the bad thing over there. This is a bad thing, period. Wow. Harris from Athens says, giddy up, right side ruffians. All right, listen, we're going to take the break. We're going to come back. I reckon I'm staying with number two, Boomer. I got so much more to cover on this leak thing. Like, what do the documents tell us? What have we learned in these documents? What is it that people are saying? Some are calling him a hero because he exposed what? Well, first of all, he wasn't a hero. He was a knucklehead. At the very least, he was a knucklehead. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We will be right back. Hey, all you Right Side ruffians out there, you are listening to Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. There we go. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. That would be Alabama. I'm talking about this show transmits down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, Mississippi, thrown in just for good measure. By the way, Boomer John from Huntsville just texted in and says he's talking to you, but I read it. He says, hey, Boomer, I got a funny feeling that a complete triple dipper ain't happening today. That's only because, John, the first two dippers were so robust. They were, both of them had 10 pounds of stuff in their 5-pound bags. That's what I'm saying.
He actually wrote in earlier and said, hey, if the triple dipper doesn't happen or it doesn't seem like happening, hit the home fries and say, that triple dipper's fried.
Oh my gosh. All right. And by the way, just go ahead and give him the applause for that too. Just
that was good.
That was good. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. We'll be in the area all day. Thank you. Hey, by the way, one of our sponsors, the Elm Foundation, got to tell you about them. Elm Foundation, if you haven't checked them out, I encourage you to do so. Got a very cool website. It can be found at Elm, that's ELMHSV.org. That's like Elm Huntsville. ELMHSV.org. The Elm Foundation, Elm stands for Expect Little Miracles. The Elm Foundation is doing some way cool stuff, getting involved with people's lives and bringing them back to a place of productivity and being a part of society and getting them off the streets and helping them with, you know, direct job skills and prepping their resume and providing support and counseling and literally just not just saying, here you go, here's a tool. No, they're saying, and we'll walk you through it. They're working with people. They provide accountability, like, hey, you didn't hit the mark this week. Why is that? Tell us what's going on. And then they're walking people through this entire process. And it works, man. It's not like the government is throwing money at something. The Elm Foundation is changing people's lives. What I love about them, too, they are a 501c3. But if you donate anything at all to the Elm Foundation, it goes straight to programs. All of their administrative costs have already been covered by one benefactor who said they will take care of staffing and administrative and all that kind of stuff so that anything somebody donates thereafter goes straight into programs. So I love that. Elm Foundation. Check them out. ELMHSV.org. That's their website. And if you talk to them, tell them you heard the ad on Right Side Radio. Allie from Athens has texted in and said, robust dippers. I think we're going to have to add that to the Right Side Ruffian rhetoric. Right Side Ruffian radio rhetoric. All right, there you go. All right, hey, so by the way, let's talk about this this dipper we're doing right now on fixing the leak. So what do we know? Well, right now, they're already out there trying to claim that the reason why this kid did it was because he's a white supremacist, extremist, radical, right, ultra, whatever. They are. The Washington Post has already got their experts from the Global Project Against Hate and Extremism claiming that this is a far-right, racist, anti-government character. And it's just, so if I see somebody capitalizing on this to try and root out extremism, listen. It is one, right now, the story we have, unless somebody can pull evidence to the contrary, the story we have is we got a knucklehead kid who did not seem to understand the non-disclosure he signed or the top secret clearance that he had for some reason been given at 21 years old. So a piece that I pulled off of National Review is really good. The title of it is What America's Dumbest Leaker Revealed. And the article starts off by pointing out it's one thing to have our country's secrets revealed by an ideologue like Edward Snowden, or to have some hapless schmo to spill the beans to a Russian honey trap like Anna Chapman. But no, we just had our biggest secrets revealed to the whole world by a 21-year-old Air Force National Guard tech guy dweeb who wanted to look like an original gangster to his teenage friends on an online server. And that's the story right now. Face value, at face value, that's it. But right now, the Pentagon's already trying to take steps to, you know, sort of lock some things down, change some policies, I guess. And I don't know why that would even be necessary, because most people would look at this and go, if a 21-year-old is hanging out in the SCIF, the secure facility, is hanging out in the SCIF way too long, doing things on a JWICS platform that he probably shouldn't be doing, maybe somebody ought to ask a question. Where was his freaking boss? Where was his supervisor? Where was his NCO or his officer? Where was somebody who was going to say, hey, Teixeira, what are you doing? Why'd you do that? What's in your pocket? Well, anyway, I mean, and by the way, if you look at the kid's life, it does not appear that he just suddenly arose on the stage and no one knows where he came from. No, I mean, the kid's like, you can go look at family postings from when they were so excited that he joined the military in 2021. Jack is on his way home today, tech school complete, ready to start his Air Force career, said his mom, you know, hanging balloons on the mailbox. Welcome home from basic training. I mean, this is like, it gets sad when you think about it. And if it really was just a knuckleheaded move, then you look at it and realize he just broke his life. He just broke his life. But somewhere, somebody senior to him needs to get broken too. I mean, I'm talking about broken hard. But here's the kind of things that came out of the documents, because it was off of JWICS. It was off of a platform that carried actual TS-level information. And some of it was damaging. People who are saying, we got information that we needed to get. Okay, there's a few things in here that you look at and go, I'm not sure why that was TS. But there's other things that needed to be TS. And oh, by the way, the sourcing, some of it could actually burn some of our contacts overseas right now. We have people that may be at risk because this kid was impressing his buddies. And I don't say that lightly. I mean, seriously. Some of this stuff, there's going to be narrow bands of sourcing that when the foreign government gets mad and wants to go find out where it came from, there's only a handful of people that would have helped generate that information as one of our sources. And it's going to burn one of our sources. And people are going to die because of it, potentially. And we're going to lose good human intelligence. You can have signals intelligence. You can have, you know, overhead imagery intelligence. But the best intel in the world comes from human. It's from the people on the ground who can gather it for you. And we may have burned some of those. Things like, here you go, here's the stuff. One report says the Ukrainians are on pace to run out of air defense missiles. All right, what that basically means is we're looking at a timeline where they think that by mid-May, Ukraine may be running out of air defense missiles. And what does that do? It puts them in a position to, you know, the Russians to regain air superiority, and that's going to be bad. All right, what else? Western plans to train and to arm and train Ukraine's army. What's happening with the amount of armor and artillery that Ukraine has? How many shells, numbers of shells and precision-guided rockets that Ukraine fires each day? That's stuff that can give Russian analysts a field day to figure out capabilities and where they can mass their firepower. How about this? U.S. intelligence agencies have apparently penetrated every aspect of Russian intelligence. I'm not going into details because I don't want to, but the reality is we may have just burned some Russian intel operations. How about this? Challenges to the Ukrainian counteroffensive. I won't go into details again, but what it basically did was it gave the Russians perhaps an empowerment to sense that, okay, this is going to go better than we thought it would. I'm just telling you, some of this is bad. Then you get into things like reports that the Mossad, Israel intelligence, had actually encouraged some of anti-Netanyahu protests on the streets over there. What does that mean? Instability in the Israeli government. That didn't need to get out. How about this? The China's People's Liberation Army had successfully tested a new hypersonic intermediate-range ballistic missile. I don't know why that one would have to be TS unless there was more to it or if there was a sourcing issue. How about this? Egypt, that receives a lot of U.S. aid, by the way, reports that they were considering selling up to 40,000 rockets to Russia. What? Now, that's also one where we could see a source get burned, because that could only have come from a few limited options within Egypt. How about this? Russian intelligence officers bragging that they had convinced the UAE, the United Arab Emirates, to work together against the U.S. and the U.K. Well, what does that mean? If there's Russian intelligence officers bragging, then all you got to do is go back and figure out who was bragging, and Putin can burn one of our sources. So what I'm saying is this. It's not always about what they leaked. It's about the leak itself and what you trace it back to and what does that do to future options for human intelligence. Here's another piece. They went ahead and disclosed that U.S. Special Forces are currently operating in Ukraine at the embassy. Now, I'm not surprised by this at all. In fact, I would have been surprised to find out they weren't, because I would imagine we got more special operations than even this reports, just saying. But I'm giving you this one because Admiral John Kirby, the spokesperson for the National Security Council, has already announced it. After he was confronted, when the documents leaked suggesting that special forces are operating inside the country, Kirby was asked about it at a press briefing, and he went ahead and said, I won't talk to specifics, but yes, we do have basically U.S. forces working out of the Ukraine embassy in order to help us with accountability on the equipment and funding that we're sending over. That's his storyline. I don't know. Are they conducting ops? I don't know. But we do have boots on the ground in a sense. Now, I did see Tucker Carlson go big on the boots on the ground thing last night. If we got a lot of boots on the ground, then I think that's very, very interesting. But what we have right now is a report that we have 12 working in the U.S. embassy in Ukraine. So a little different than lots and lots of boots on the ground. But Paul from Athens has texted in. He says, with regards to the leaker, next he'll be labeled as a Trump operative. I'm waiting. Pretty soon they're going to have him with a MAGA hat on, and it's all going to be over, bro. So a lot of things in these documents. But listen, I guess, and I'm not even going to get to all my storylines. There's no way I can cover all these articles. I printed out so much stuff for this. But here's the deal. And by the way, I'll go back. If you want to read some of these, the only one not posted today on our website is the National Review story because I found it right before I went on the air. But if you want to read any of these, Boomer takes the resources every day. I send him all the links. He helps me prep the documents so I can highlight them and mark them up and all that kind of stuff and then get up here and rattle them on the air. But we had so many people asking, what was that article you had? Where do I get that? Go to the website, rightsideradio.org. Go to the bottom of the live stream page, and you'll see a button that says resources. All of them are on there. Today's Triple Dipper is on there. Every article that we're using is up there so you can find it yourself too. Here's the deal. Was he a hero or a villain? He was a villain in the criminal sense. He was a villain because he did something he should not have done. He violated the trust. He violated an oath. He knew better. He knew what he was doing, except that he didn't seem capable of stopping himself, which indicates that he's also a knucklehead. We don't have any indication that this was like an ideological thing or a treasonous thing or an extremist thing. What we have is a kid who never should have had access to a JWEX platform, who got documents and information and thought he'd impress his buddies. What a stupid thing to do. And yet, was he a true criminal? He's a criminal in terms of violating the law, but what we don't have is treasonous intent that we know of. That being said, he's beyond being a knucklehead, and his life has just been ruined. And is he going to be a scapegoat? Yeah, but you know what? By God, there needs to be some people out there whose heads roll right along with him because they were supposed to be his handlers. They were supposed to be his supervisors. That skiff is not supposed to be operated the way it apparently was being operated. And I'd like to know who was in charge of it and why we haven't heard their names yet, and we better soon. All right, folks, we're going to take a break right now. We'll take this break. We'll come right back and put a lid on the whole week because it's Friday, and we get back. We have to play that sound effect again, Boomer. All right, you guys, stay tuned. We will be right back. Back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. Man, it's almost go-home time. Some of you guys can smell the barn from where you are. Hey, listen, I got a caller on the line, held on during the break, and I appreciate that, so let me just grab it and thank you. Mike from Harvest, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Mr. Williams. How about yourself?
I'm good, sir. I'm good. What's on your mind?
Well, I wanted to mention the fact that the Pentagon got this guy because the New York Times and the Washington Post delivered him to them on a silver platter.
That's a great point. And when the intel community finds out from the press, what's up? You there?
That's kind of an issue. I thought that might be interesting. Unlike, say, Alexander Vittman, who they lauded and, you know, made a hero.
Yeah. Yeah. Vittman was a punk. Well, so
that's not quite the word I would use, but
well, it's a family show. I got to say it that way, but
I understand, sir.
Now you're right. I'd forgotten that angle. You're right. The press is the reason why we found out about this, and it was all the way onto a Russian-based internet platform before it even got to the point of the press finding it and then bring it to the National Security Council's attention. Mike, thanks for the heads up, buddy. Appreciate it. You have a great weekend.
No problem, sir. You have a wonderful day, Mr. Weir.
You too. More to come on this. In fact, you know what? There better be more to come on this. How about that? Because I'll be honest with you, part of me feels, I mean, as much as I know the kid's a knucklehead, as much as I know, I have no sympathy for Eric Snowden. I really don't have any sympathy for Julian Assange. I don't have any sympathy at all for Bradley Manning. And yes, I call him Bradley Manning, although I guess maybe his legal name change has occurred by now and it's Chelsea Manning. Anyway, nonetheless. This situation is sad, and when you put the human factor in there, I mean, he's in court today. And for arraignment, was it today or yesterday, for arraignment, and, you know, his parents are sitting right behind him. He still lived with his parents. So we're talking about a kid who's still living at home with his mom and dad, who's excited that he's in the Air National Guard. He's proud of his uniform. He's allegedly trying to puff up to his friends. You know, part of it is you look at it and go, dang, man, because you just crushed your life by just being a complete idiot. And his parents are in the courtroom, and his dad, you know, as he's being taken away in handcuffs, his dad hollers out, "I love you, son." Yeah, man, just what an awful day for the family whose mom, you know, we got pictures of her Facebook page. When he got out of basic training, she had balloons on the mailbox. And you look at it and go, dadgummit. So, yeah, I want to know, and not that I'm shifting blame, because the kid's going to deserve whatever he gets. And we're looking at this. Not only was it an awful decision on his part, we're looking at what it's going to do to people downrange who were our sources who may now be at risk. And what will that do to our ability to gather actionable intelligence in the future? But dadgummit, I want to know who was supposed to be there with him, watching over his shoulder to make sure he does his job well and maintains all security protocols, because they failed. And they didn't just fail once. Apparently they failed a lot. If he had done this one time and gotten away with it, I'd be going, man, all right. I guess I kind of get it, but dang. No. This was multiple times. There's hundreds of documents they believe that he took out. And it just, every time you talk about it, it gets worse. You're like, good Lord. So is he a hero? Friggin' no, he's not. He's an idiot. Is he a villain? Yes, in the legal sense, he certainly is. Is it maddening? Yep. Do we have some losses now on the world stage? Yep, we sure do. We got some egg on our face, and we got some intel we lost, and we may have burned some sources. Maybe people will die. And we lost face in the eyes of the world overall. And lastly, it's just freaking sad. It's just sad that this 21-year-old kid was given access to things he never should have had, and now his life is ruined because he didn't have the maturity to handle it. And somebody should have known that. Somebody should have freaking known that. Punish the kid. Dadgummit, you better figure out who did this right alongside him by being negligent in their job. Strip a stripe off someone's arm. You know, defrock the lieutenant. I don't know. Somebody somewhere. All right. That's enough of that rant. I've worked in enough skiffs and done enough things and worked with young troops before that it just makes me mad. But in the meantime, we've got a weekend, Boomer. All day long, it's been Friday, and now tomorrow's Saturday. All right, you guys, y'all have an amazing weekend. Boomer and I back here Monday at 2. We will see you then.